you. We welcome you into this place today, Lord. And we pray that you will be with us all and be with us through this service and through the following week, Lord. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So please do take a seat. And a very good morning on probably the most important day of the year. I may be a bit biased, but no, some of the men here will doubtless have had their breakfast brought to them in bed. And no, me neither. Right. Okay. I did. I found a couple of scriptures, one from the Old Testament and one from the New, talking about fatherhood. The first one is from Ephesians chapter 6. Sorry, no, it's not. It's from Psalm 103, verse 13. I mean, we all know it off by heart, but as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's us. And then from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, I have struggled with that last bit, but we are now going to hand over to Bev for the old birthday box and Father's Day
stuff. Good morning. Have we anyone in the building who has had a birthday in the past few days or in the next few days amongst the little ones? Lydia, it's yours on Thursday, is it? Perfect. Oh, today? We've got one today. More over there today. Oh, Alan's on the 25th. Yes, there's one at... You can want to come forward and get something out of the birthday box? Okay, we have got one. Okay, you choose a present there, and we'll, as it's several people's birthday, we will sing happy birthday as well to you.
Sorry, my machine is gone wrong.
Balls are going to be quite popular at the moment, aren't they? I should have grabbed you. I need you to stay. Can I have some help down from the balcony, please, if there are any children up there? We want to honour the dads who are in, the men, not just dads, any men who are in church today. So can you come back and help me? And if there's any children on the balcony, can you make your way down, please? I've got a job for you to do. And we are going to honour the dads today and the men, any men in the church.
So while the little helpers are doing their job, let's all stand and sing together, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made.
Oh, Lord, my God. sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and hear the gentle breeze, then sings my song.
Just pray for our men folk. Father, we do thank you for the men of this church. Lord, we thank you for their continued witness and Lord, for their ministry and for their service in so many different ways. And Lord, we pray that you would pour out your blessing on them. And Lord, we thank you that you are raising up young men and older men. Lord, that they are coming back to see you and to meet with you. Lord, we ask that the doors of this church would continue to be open and, Lord, for people to come in. And, Father, we don't want to follow the pattern of this world and moan about or condemn our men. Lord, we pray that you would encourage them today, Lord, that they would be strong in their faith and in their prayer lives and in knowing you. And, Lord, that this would be a blessing to them. Grant this, we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we'll continue in worship and we will sing, Jesus is the name we honor.
Jesus, please.
Now, before we come to communion, we sing Father of Creation.
Church. If the deacons would like to come up as well as we come to the communion table.
Amen. It's a privilege to come to this point of the service. We know it's warm, but it's a privilege to come to the table of communion. But before we go into that, I know one of our deacons is going to open up in prayer for us. So if you'd like to do that for us, that'd be amazing. Thank you, Cresta.
Okay. Oh, Father God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the privilege to gather together at your table. Thank you that you died, that you hung, you died, and you bled for our sins. And when you rose from the dead, you gave us victory. You paid it all for us. You paid for the weight of our sin, of our shame, of our loneliness, of everything that we need your deliverance from. You paid it all on the cross of Calvary for us. And for this, Father God, we're truly thankful. Even as we gather together as one family under you, Father God, as we eat and drink of what represents your body and your blood, we pray that it will remind us of what you did for us, of how you paid it all for us, and that it will fill our hearts with joy. And that freedom that you paid for, we will feel it within us today as we eat together at your table. Father God, we just lift every weight, every sin, every past mistake. We ask that, Lord God, today you will wash it clean up from us. And Lord God, you make us new, you make us fresh, and you make us worthy to be part of your fold. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just remember, if you're not a Christian, you haven't given your life to Jesus, as these elements go around, please let them pass you by. And hopefully one day there'll be an opportunity as well to give your life to Christ throughout this service. And maybe one day we'll have your first communion with us. Amen. But if you're not a Christian, please let them pass you by. So the scripture we're going to read from is from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. And it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Amen? Amen. And as the bread comes around, please take the bread straight away. And when the wine comes around, we'll do that afterwards, and we'll take that together. You receive the element, please take that. It's amazing that when we take this, the Lord says, "Do this in remembrance of me," and remembering what he did for us at Calvary. And what an incredible God he is for us, church. Remembering what the Lord took us out of. Amen? Took us in, out of darkness, into his marvelous light. And I love the word marvelous. This is not like any other light. It's not like the sun that beams. It's a marvelous light that the Lord has taken us into. Let's remember our God, our King, his body was broken for us. The reminder, we can't do life without Jesus, church. We've all tried. Never ends very well. We can't do life without in church. Hallelujah. And next in the scripture, he says, in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. When you receive this element, please hold on to that, and we will take that together as a body. Presence of worship at the Minute Church, the Holy and the Anointed One, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. There is no one like you, Lord. Your name is above every single name. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from all sin. And we proclaim that time, Lord, that you return for your church. And we say with thankful hearts, we don't care what the week has been, Lord, because with you on our side, Lord Jesus, we know we can get through anything because you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
So it's now time for the children to leave to go to their own lessons. They have their own classes, their own church, whatever you want to call it. And while they do that, we are going to sing Goodness of God. At the end of which, Nathan will be invited to come up to deliver a sermon.
Father, we thank you so much for your presence that we feel amongst us this morning. We thank you so much that you are a good, good Father, and you are perfect in all of your ways. We pray now as we come to feast on your holy word that you would minister, would you speak to each and every heart, would you uplift, would you encourage, and would you hide me behind the cross as your servant, that your people may see and hear from you. To you we turn our focus and attention now, Jesus Christ, our living word. Amen. Amen. I want to jump right in because I'm aware of time and I want to get you out in good time in this very warm day. I want to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 3. And for the sake of time, I'm only going to read one verse of this familiar passage. On this Father's Day, we're going to take a little detour and a little break from our series. We're going to have a standalone message to reflect on Father's Day and what Father's Day means. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 17 from the King James Version says this, "And lo, a voice from heaven spoke." A voice from heaven. This is when Jesus Christ was baptized by his cousin John the Baptist. And as he was baptized in the water, a voice from heaven spoke. It was God the Father. And this is what he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Would you read that with me again? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The Father is speaking. The Father is speaking to his Son. And the Father's words, this is the first time that God the Father is recorded to be speaking in the New Testament. And his first words to his Son was, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, and I am pleased with my Son." I want to speak today from this thought, who are you in the Father's eyes? Who are you in the Father's eyes? Church, on this Father's Day, I am mindful of the fact that within our local church, and even within our local community, friends, that there can be and there will be mixed feelings on this Father's Day. When it comes to Father's Day, for many children around our community and even adult children around our community, this day will bring about joy and gratitude for some, those who will celebrate their fathers and have fond memories of their fathers, and even those dads who are no longer present here on earth. But maybe there's some around this house and around Sittingbourne who will be reflecting today on the wonderful memories that they have shared with their dads. Maybe some will even travel today to the cemetery, lay some flowers and tidy up the graveside because they have wonderful memories of their dad. Maybe others on this day will buy gifts for their dad. "You are the greatest, Dad." T-shirts and coffee mugs will be printed galore. Yet for many others, friends, I am conscious of the fact that Father's Day will bring about emotions of anger, emotions of frustration, and yes, even emotions of sadness. In fact, research statistics tell us, friends, that in our country, around 61% of Britons feel indifferent about Father's Day, with some who view this day as just every other normal day, while others view this day as a negative day. And when you think about even some of our secular songs in the world today, songs about fathers, it's interesting that many of those secular songs about fathers, not all, but some, are viewed through a negative lens. Let's think about it for a second. When it's Mother's Day, we hear songs like, "Mama, I love you. Mama, I care." Spice Girls. We hear other songs like, "Mama, you're the queen of my heart." Boys to Men. But when it's Father's Day, we hear songs like, Papa was a rolling stone. But wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all of us was left alone. The first verse of that song is interesting. It says, I never got the chance to see him, never heard nothing about him, but all I heard was bad things about him. And church, the reality is, the temptations aren't the only ones who have shared a negative experience of a father or a father figure in their lives. Many today are still deeply impacted and affected by the absence and the void of a father or a male figure in their lives. And church, the reason why this is so important is because a father, the title father, is the most intimate of titles that one could be ascribed. It may be very easy for us today as Christians to say, Father, we love you, when we're talking about God. Father, we worship you. Father, you're the name we honor, as we've sung today. This language of embracing God as our Father may be easy for us as believers. But for many others, church, when we say our Father, and when we talk about God as our Father, that can leave many feeling a little bit perplexed. How can I view God as my loving Heavenly Father when I've had such a negative experience with my earthly father? How can I embrace God as a loving Father when my earthly father never loved me? If my earthly father let me down, then I can't see God as faithful. If my earthly father was abusive to me, then I'm struggling this morning to see God as loving. If my earthly father was absent in my life, I don't know who he is, don't know where he is, then I'm struggling to see God as ever present. If my earthly father did not provide for me, then whenever you believers get together and sing the song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and I'm struggling because my earthly father did not provide for me. If my earthly father, church, was always mean and tough, always would say harsh words and would put me down, then I'm struggling to see and embrace God, who views me, you say Christians, that he sees us as the apple of his eye. But this morning, I want to pause on this Father's Day to encourage anyone who is struggling, anyone who has had a negative experience of an earthly father, anyone who has been abused by a father or a male figure in their lives. I don't want to dismiss your frustration today. I don't want to paper over the cracks. I hear your pain. I sense the frustration. I understand your mood on this day. But I do want to leave you this morning with some words of hope. That you have a divine Father. A perfect Father. A holy Father. Yes, and a loving Father. A Father who will not drop the ball. A father who will not leave you nor forsake you. A father who will protect you. A father who will sustain you. A father who will give you the best of gifts and has given us the very best of gifts. Because the gift that he has given us, it far outweighs and it far surpasses any Father's Day gift that you could receive today. Because God our Father, he gave his only begotten Son. That through the Son, through Jesus Christ, we can have life and have life more abundantly. That through Jesus, despite our negative experiences with a father or father figure in our lives, one day we have this great promise, church, in the book of Revelation, that one day the Father is going to wipe all tears from our eyes. Hallelujah. And there will be no more pain anymore, no more sickness, no more frustration, no more suffering. Why? Because the former things, they will all be passed away. And we as God's children, we will experience, despite what we may have faced down here, we will experience, here it is, everlasting joy. Hallelujah. That is the difference between a wayward earthly father and a loving heavenly father who will never drop the ball on his children. And right here, church, at the baptism of Jesus Christ, here we see the very first recorded words of God the Father speaking audibly in Scripture. It was right here at the baptism of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was baptized in the water by his cousin John the Baptist. And as Jesus was baptized, the first thing that we see here, church, is very interesting. Number one, the words I believe he's speaking to the Son is, remember who you are. Would you say that with me? Remember who you are. First words from the Father to the Son was words of identity. You are my beloved Son. You are my Son. I want you to know who you are. And I want you to know whose you are. Hallelujah. And we are so privileged as God's children that we know who we are. And we know whose we are. That even if an earthly father abandoned us, even if an earthly father did not live up to his responsibility here on earth, for those of us who belong to God, he has engrafted us. He has adopted us into his family. And through Jesus Christ, the Bible lets us know that we have the right to call our Father, Abba Father. Hallelujah. That is the most intimate form of expression that a child can exclaim to a father. Abba Father. It's like a little child who's calling out to their daddy. Daddy, daddy. And the dad recognizes the voice of the little child. That child belongs to me. That child is my child. That's not just any child who's calling out to me. Although many others can be called daddy, I hear the voice. I know the sound. That's my child. And whenever you and I call out to our Heavenly Father and we cry, Abba Father, I want you to know that as many call out to him, he knows your voice. He knows the sound of his children. And we are not those who have no father. We have a father. And we can call out to him. We can pray to him. As Jesus told his disciples, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the first words that we see here at the baptism of Jesus are words of identity. The problem for many today in the world, church, is many have what's called an identity crisis. Many don't know who they are because they don't know who their father is. Maybe they had a negative experience of an earthly father. They're struggling with identity. It reminds me of one of my favorite films of all time, The Lion King. There's a wonderful scene in The Lion King where Simba, he had a negative experience with his earthly father, and he thought that he caused his death, which wasn't the truth. It was his evil uncle Scar. And he ran away to try and get away from what happened in his past. But then he came across Rafiki. And Rafiki led him out to some water to look and to look a little bit closer. And then he saw a vision of his father Mufasa. And his Mufasa had a few things to say to him, but he said, "Remember who you are. You are my son." I believe that applies to us today. The Bible lets us know, John tells us, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we can be called the sons of God. Do you know that you are a son and a daughter of the Father? You don't have to question who you are. You are a child of the living God. So don't live this life feeling as if you have no identity. You have identity. You have purpose. And because we have identity, we have security. We don't have to become disillusioned in this life and doubt our value and our worth. That's why many today make decisions, poor decisions, because they don't know who they are and they don't know their worth. But I want you to know on this Father's Day, the Father wants you to know who you are. You are a son and a daughter of the living God. Amen. But secondly, not only do we see, remember who you are my beloved son, the Father speaks to Jesus. But secondly, I'm hurrying on, here's the problem of the text, because the question is, okay, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God, but what does my father think about me? Many children want to know, what does my dad really think about me? The father goes on to say to the son, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. The father was pleased with his son. It's interesting, in Matthew chapter 3, the father is pleased with his son. But at this point, Jesus hadn't done much. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus really hadn't done much of his earthly ministry yet. But the Father speaks to the Son and says, although you're early on in your ministry, you haven't done much yet. You haven't done much works yet. But you're my son, and I'm pleased with you. You know, it's interesting that psychologists suggest that words of affirmation are foundational to building a child's self-esteem, their resilience and their self-worth. And even as adults, we often have a deep desire to be accepted, to be appreciated, and to be thought well of by those we love and admire. When I think about my own dad, I know my dad loves me, but my dad has never been, and even to this day, except now he's changed with a granddaughter, but he's never been the sentimental type. He's never, I can't recall my dad ever saying to me, I love you, or I'm proud of you. I know he is, and I know he does love me, but in that old school way, especially the way he was brought up by his dad, there can be a tendency to, you know, we're men, we're strong, we want you to be tough. And I remember even as a kid, when I would play football on Sundays and my dad was at church, I would feel a little bit just left out. When I'd see the other children and dad was present, mum was present, granddad was present, uncle, aunt, everyone was present. And you would hear them say after the game, we're proud of you. And who did I have in my corner? Just my lunchbox. My lunchbox and I. But I know, don't get me wrong, I know he loves me, I know he's proud of me. But sometimes people can feel disillusioned because they've never had positive words of affirmation from their loved ones. And that's why I implore all the fathers in the house today, all the mothers, as often as you can, let your children know how much you love them. I know the old school way, well, my dad, if my dad would say, well, yeah, listen, did you ever go hungry? You know, we provide, yes, and that's love, I get it. He's going to tell me off I hope he doesn't hear this message. But words of affirmation are still important. Yes, we should show love, but it's also nice to hear, I love you. I'm proud of you. And I love that from God the Father. He says to his son, even though Jesus had not done much yet at this stage in his ministry, he says, I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased with you. And I want you to know, church, the Father is well pleased with you. I know sometimes we can beat ourselves up at times as children of God. And sometimes there's something healthy about that we should have an awe about God. He should be reverenced when we realize that we're nothing without God. But through Jesus Christ, we are the righteousness of God through Christ. Despite our failures and our faults, he looks at us not through the lenses of our faults when we're in Christ, but he looks at us through the lenses of his Son. So be encouraged today. No, God does not hate you. God is not upset with you. But God says, I am pleased with my son, with my daughter. Amen? Amen. So, number one, remember who you are. You're my son, Jesus. Number two, words of affirmation. What does he think about me? My beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. But third and finally, here's my close. What is the Father like? Love. Verse 17, the King James, it says, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I love my son. I love him. It's impossible to speak about God as our Father without speaking about his love. God's love for his children, church, is unmatched. It's immeasurable. It's indescribable. You don't have to wonder if he loves you, because he lets us know time and time and time and time again throughout his word that I love you. Words of affirmation and words of demonstration and action. I gave my son, but I also want you to know verbally that I love you. It's like, just going back to talking about my own experience with my dad. Now for me as a dad myself, even at an early age and stage in Alessia's life, I want to make sure that I let her know verbally that I love her. This past Monday, we went out and no, those of you know, Monday is my day off, so I don't do much on a Monday usually. But now, because I've got a daughter and Anna's still on maternity leave, Alessia now has swimming class on a Monday. So I make sure that I'm there for swimming class because I want to watch and I want to, you know, wave her on and say, yes, you can do it. Because even at that early stage, a child needs to hear and needs to see. It needs to hear and see presence, and also to hear words of affirmation that I love you. I'm there for you. And if anyone here today is struggling to feel the Father's love, struggling to sense the Father's love because you've had such a negative experience with an earthly father, allow these words from Paul just to take lodging place in your heart this morning. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read this and close. From verse 17 to 19. Paul says to the church in Ephesus in Turkey, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and, here it is, established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, here it is, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. How high, how deep, how wide. It's like a little child that's asking their parent, do you love me? How much do you love me? And the mom or dad stretches out the hands, this much. But when you think about God our Father, it's this much times a zillion. There aren't enough arms in the world that could be stretched wide, that could measure up to the love that God has for his children. And not only for those who have embraced him as Father, but even for the sinners, hallelujah, who are not even thinking about God, even they too can know that God loves them so, so much. You can't describe his love. You can't paint a picture of his love. Indescribable. So no earthly parent is perfect, church. No earthly father will always get it right. I'm conscious of the fact as a new dad that I'm not always going to get it right. But we are made complete in God's perfect love. The Bible says perfect love, it casts out fear. Hallelujah. God's love is not tainted. An earthly parent might get it wrong, but God will never get it wrong when it comes to his love. God loves you deeply. His love remains constant and consistent, and his affection for his children never, never changes. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, that those same words that you spoke to Jesus as he was baptized, that you are my son, words of identity, that I'm well pleased with my son, words of affirmation. And then in the NIV it says, whom I love, hallelujah. That's who you are, a God of love. I pray today for anyone who's in this place who is really struggling with today. I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage every heart to know that you are a good, good Father and you are perfect in all of your ways. And you want your children to know who they are and whose they are in you, that they have purpose and destiny, and that they are deeply, deeply loved. I pray today that someone would leave, maybe who came here discouraged, but they would leave knowing that they have a Father who loves them so, so much. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a little chorus as the worship team get ready to come back. As it just came in my heart. You're a good, good Father. You're perfect in all of your ways. Let's just sing that a few times as the worship team get ready to sing the final song. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. Yes. That's who you are, and I'm loved by you. That's who I am, yes, who I am, it's who I am. Now let's say, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect, yes. Let's sing about the Father. You are perfect. That's who you are. It's who you are. You're perfect, you're perfect. You're perfect. Hallelujah. You're perfect. You're perfect, Lord. To us. One more time. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. Yes. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are
perfect in all of your ways.
To us. If there's anyone here today that wants to embrace the Father for the first time through his Son, Jesus Christ, maybe there's someone here today, you are struggling with this day, you are dreading Father's Day. I want you to know that God loves you so, so much. He sees the pain that you experienced with your earthly father. And he wants you to embrace his true love. His true grace and mercy. That's not tainted by sin. Not tainted by an earthly father that will drop the ball. But he's perfect in all of his ways. God wants you to know who you are and whose you are. He wants to say, that's my son, that's my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. If you're here today and you want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want to have a relationship with the Father through Jesus, I want you to raise your hand in faith. We'd love to pray for you on this day. If you're here today, you want Jesus to be your Lord, and you want to have a relationship with the Father, the good, good Father, the perfect Father. He's perfect in all of his ways. I want you to raise your hand in faith now. Would there be one? Would there be one? Amen. I want to pray just finally for those who are maybe struggling on this day. As we talked about, who've had negative experiences, been in my heart all week. I want to pray for you now. Father, for anyone here today who is struggling, whether it may be a father who was just not there, or maybe a father, it wasn't they were a bad father, but maybe tragically you had to lose them at a young age. Whatever the circumstance may be, Father, I pray today that you would just give hope and give joy. And give peace to every heart. Would you heal the brokenhearted? Would you set the captives free? I pray today and for the rest of their lives that, Father, anyone who's struggling right now, that you would give them a sense of joy and peace that they've never experienced before from the Father who loves them, from the Father who's proud, from the Father who will speak words of affirmation. This is my son, this is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. I pray that anyone here today who's struggling will leave this place encouraged to know that you are a good, good father and you're perfect. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to end today's service by saying there's power in the name of Jesus. And just a reminder that this evening is praise and worship evening. So you're more than welcome to come and sing your heart out, starting at 6:30, led by Mark this evening. So there's the thing to look forward to. There's power in the name of Jesus.
upon us that we can be called the sons and the daughters of God. We thank you that we are a son and a daughter, that we know who we are and we know whose we are. We thank you that you are a good, good Father and you are perfect in all of our ways. And Father, we celebrate all the good, good fathers, earthly fathers too. We thank you so much, Lord, that there are so many good role models and examples who are doing their best they can to provide for their children and raise their children. And we thank you so much, Lord, that there are many great examples of godly fathers even amongst our congregation today. We pray your blessing on each and every one. May you give each and every one a wonderful day, however they're going to spend this Father's Day. May they be celebrated and appreciated by their children. And as we consider our identity and affirmation in you, that you love us, you cherish us, that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for us, we thank you that we can know that you are a great, great Father who loves us so, so much. So may we leave this place now knowing that we have a good, good Father and knowing how much we are loved by you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Please do get a drink in the lounge and try to stay cool.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much, Miles. Thank you very much, Ollie.